Welcome to It's All Journalism. My name is Michael O'Connell. Today I'm going to be playing an interview I did with Stefan Konrat of Liquid Newsroom. But before we get into that, I wanted to mention that you can now listen to It's All Journalism on SoundCloud. You can still download our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, but we wanted to give you another platform to listen to us on. When I get time, I'll start uploading some of the older podcasts so that all of our material will be available on SoundCloud. Thanks to everybody who's been liking or commenting on the podcast. That really helps us decide what types of guests you want us to talk to. Our partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media has brought in a lot of new eyes and ears to the podcast. We're happy about that, and we're striving constantly to bring you the best content that we can. And speaking of content, this is one of the interviews we're doing in partnership with Liquid Newsroom to preview the International Journalism Festival, which take place in Perugia, Italy, from April 30th to May 4th. You can find out more about the festival at journalismfestival.com. Stefan Konrat of Liquid Newsroom reached out to us. He was a fan of the podcast and thought it would be a good thing if we worked together to talk to some of the people who were going to be speaking at the festival. Stefan is one of the speakers, so I figured it was a good idea to invite him and to talk a little bit about what he's going to talk about at the event. We've got a few of those interviews lined up for the next month or so. So we think you'll find those informative and kind of fun to listen to. So anyway, I started out the interview asking Stefan what he was going to be talking about at the festival.
Last time I introduced the idea that news is not an article, news is a signal. Now we'll continue to talk about why news is a signal and what it really means in the context of readers and for the news for journalists.
Okay, well, let me stop you there. When you say news is a signal, what does that mean? Just that we're all receivers and we're sort of picking up this information that's coming in and sort of digesting it the way we do? What do you mean by it being a signal?
Just found out when I started to work with Twitter, it was just very difficult at the beginning to understand how it really works. But after a short time, it came to my mind that it is really about the interest graph, the interest of people. Sending out that kind of short messages, the 140 characters, the tweets, actually meant like sending signals, like beacons, to people out there, to find people who share the same interest. And having that kind of very specific tweet channel, you get the chance to get in touch with people who really share the same interest. That's a signal.
I'm guessing that Liquid Newsroom sort of is built on this concept that you're sort of what organizing the signals or presenting a platform where people can do that.
The Liquid Newsroom was first of all built for me to make the work easier. I usually read about 240 sources about journalism, media's future, and I needed to find out a way to do it more efficiently, and also to post it to all the news outlets, news channels of interest where people really read. And so, as you said, yeah, that's right. So I send the signal via the Liquid Newsroom, which is a technical platform. It looks a little bit like Google Reader, but we have ability to send and to select channels like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or whatever makes sense for the readers.
Okay. So say you have an interest in football and you follow various people on Twitter, you follow various people on Facebook. Is this then sort of an application that sort of pulls us together, or a platform? Is it something more than that?
It helps you, first of all, to curate information for that audience, so sports-interested people. And it helps you to do that very fast, very quickly. And on the other hand, it also looks for the people interested in that subject, and helps me to connect with them on a one-to-one base. Social media is really a relationship building. It's not about broadcasting. So even the signal model means it's not sending out just for an anonymous mass of people. It's really to find people who you get in touch with personally.
How does then a newsroom use this? Or is it something a newsroom uses? Is it something more that a consumer would use?
For me, it was built indeed for the newsroom. So I worked for a German publisher for many years, and it was during the time of the London riots and the Fukushima crisis when I was just struggling with all the information coming in and finding a good way to deal with it and to find the difference between the articles. And so that process model and that kind of how to deal with the news went into the platform of the Liquid Newsroom. If you think about what the real work in the newsroom today is, the Liquid Newsroom is actually like a pre-process. So it's doing the work like finding the most interesting news, teasing it on the channels, getting the feedback, understanding what the people really are looking for. And like a little bit like demand-driven journalism, but not with lolcats, but with real news. I just understand what the people have for questions, which we would like to be addressed.
Well, now you mentioned the riots in Fukushima, and those are instances, and I'm also thinking of like the Boston bombings, where people kind of focused on what was going on in social media and sort of how that kind of those events have sort of changed the landscape. A lot of people were critical of the news coverage that was going on in the Boston bombings, for example. But I think if you look at that event, it also, it sort of opened a lot of people's eyes to a lot of the challenges that we face with social media, that it's the fire hose. I mean, I'm not the first person to call it that, but that's exactly what it is that you have a ton of information coming at you, second by second by second. And there's no way for you to, you don't know what the fact is. You can't separate the fact from opinion and so that then becomes, the Twitter is a tool for journalists to gather news, but it's also becomes a burden in a sense that we have to be able to go in there and differentiate between what's valid, what's real, and what we can verify. Does Liquid Newsroom sort of help in that process?
Absolutely. I think you exactly described the main problem. So in case of London, the riots and even for Japanese earthquake catastrophe, I've faced a problem where I do not understand who's really a valid source. And as in usual in journalism, you have to verify the sources and the content, of course. So I needed to figure out a way to learn from the experience and to say if this Twitter account is someone who I can trust, it should be a part of a learning curve of a system to understand that next time this person tweets something or posts something to Facebook, it might be higher in ranking of the quality. And so what I built into the LNR, that's the short abbreviation of a Liquid Newsroom, is actually a learning model which helps me to learn who are the sources of interest, which I need to take care of, which is the trash I just can delete and forget about it.
And what is it basing that on? Is it just, do you have to go in and say, okay, well, I trust this source, I trust this source, or is there some other vector in there that picks out what is reliable and what's not?
If I find something interesting, say I found a tweet which is talking about the Boston Marathon, for example, and I even know the person personally, or I got in touch with the person over Skype or with other means, so I know that person. I could verify what was said, and I post it via the LNR. The posting is the mechanism which helps the LNR to understand that this person is something which needs to be remembered next time something like that comes up. So it's the actual publishing process which makes the platform learn from such events.
So now you download this as an app, or is this a program? Is this something different?
Yeah, it's browser based, which means for me it was very important because I do not have an office. I'm traveling around. It's like really journalism out in the street. And I wanted to be able to do that kind of curation and reporting wherever I am. So it had to be browser based, and via the internet connection, you can just call the browser, the URL of a service, and log in and just do what you want to do.
Now, can you sort of tailor it to your particular needs and interests and information you want to get, or and then it learns from that, or?
Yeah, the basic model behind it is that it's always focused on a specific subject. So, say, Boston Marathon would have been one subject, and you open one Liquid Newsroom for that purpose. That's also what why it is called Liquid. Liquid is a name I just took from Liquid Design, which is a flexible design, which can adjust to any kind of changes in the environment. So the Liquid Newsroom, looking at the name, what does Liquid mean? It's actually a name for that it is highly flexible. So it's the model is a topic, a subject of interest. And the Liquid Newsroom is always related to that subject. So, say it's a sport event you would like to cover, you have one Liquid Newsroom for that purpose. And you actually select the sources for that purpose to cover the issue. And also, the LNR learns from that subject and the people involved. And you start, even if you want to do some coverage for Beirut or for Moscow or wherever you want to be, you have to open a new entity for that reason. And it learns the news market. So it's always a news market model. It's not user based, which helps me to really understand how information flows in such a market. So when I post things, like, it learns how the news flows. How are the people engaging with the news? Who's actually passing on the news and retweeting, liking it? And who are the sources?
So who do you see as the consumer of this? Is this a journalist who's just trying to get information out of social media to inform a story, or is this actual, news consumers?
A typical user of a Liquid Newsroom is an expert in a field. You could be an expert for gardening, for example, or for cooking, and you would like to curate all the information about cooking and gardening for your audience. So that's a typical user. It could be a professional journalist who says, I'm writing about politics. I'm writing about what's happening in Syria or in Egypt, and you would like to open that and to work on it. So it's always a kind of expert for something.
What ultimately are you hoping to do with Liquid Newsroom?
Two things. I wanted to ease the way to find interesting content and to help to spread it. That's the first thing. The second is I wanted to help someone who would like to create information like a journalist does for his audience or her audience to do that on all social channels and even on the blog and wherever it is needed. So and to ease that process, it's just a click with on one button to do that. The third thing is to drive the news spreading. I can see it from my own account. So I write about journalism and post it via ST Conrad on Twitter. And if you do that for quite some time, you learn how to do that efficiently. And I can see the gains in reach. As a journalist and as someone who's interested in something and who would like to gain audience, you were always looking to attract most of the people as much as people as possible. That's actually what the LNR does. It helps someone to do that in very small amount of time.
It's helping to make those sort of connections that social media is supposed to be good at, but because of kind of the scope sometimes and the variety of information that's out there, kind of makes it difficult to do. It sort of helps to make those connections. In your job, how are you using social media? Are you using it to sort of disseminate what you're doing? Are you using it just as a consumer of news? In a typical day, what are you using social media for?
I come back to the signal model. So signal is an invitation for a conversation. Social media has always been conversation for me. It's not broadcasting. So what I'm really take care of is if I see response from the people, I try to reply, and it's just someone asks you something and you have to answer. So news is conversation.
I don't think necessarily that a journalist 20, 30 years ago would, practically consider news a conversation. I think conceptually they might say, yeah, we're trying to communicate with our readers, we're giving them information, and maybe they'll write in or they'll respond back. But it was always more of a broadcast thing. It was a one-sided conversation. But now social media has kind of broken down that old barrier. And so it's, conversation back and forth between source and reporter and reader, or pardon me, consumer. So is that sort of, you see what social media is doing?
I think it's a pretty good point you're bringing up here. Still in the newsroom, it is like you mentioned, people are working behind a wall. It's just a new generation of who's coming up and to work with social media in a different way, just to use it as communication. And it's still, I can see still Sean is struggling with it. Even sometimes on my Twitter feed, when I talk to Sean, they said, do not get response all the time. I see we are still keeping behind the opinion. Maybe it's just because of all the trolling on Twitter, for example. And people are afraid of all the shitstorm which could happen afterwards.
Right. Yeah, well, and it does happen quite a lot, unfortunately. I am one of those journalists who sort of I don't feel like I'm a master of social media. I certainly know more than I did a few years ago, and I probably mentally went through all the same sort of hoops that the journalists taking to social media. You know, well, I don't want to tweet out about my lunch. Oh, now I tweet out about my lunch.
That's good.
Twitter is an incredibly valuable tool for journalists, but it also has its price. Again, we look at breaking news situations like the Boston bombing. That there's so much information that comes quickly, so much that you can't verify. And then I think it was Jeff Jarvis who said that. What social media has done is basically brought the newsroom process out into daylight so that everybody sees it. And then also journalists have this, I think, there's still this grain in us, professional journalists who feel somehow we need to be controlling things, that we need, that this is, that we need to be telling a story to somebody, that we need to have all the facts. And I think, I guess to a degree, our responsibility is, it comes in the verification aspect of it, that all that information is out there. Like it was always out there. We just happened to be the events that it was that we were covering, and then it becomes our job becomes more about verification of information that's out there. And I think that Boston is one of those things that kind of showed that up, that the as things unfolded very quickly, some of the news outlets sort of pulled back and weren't so robust in their social media, because they recognize that what was more important for them to do as in their role was to let sort of all this stuff go and then verify the facts that they could, and then put you publish those as, okay, this is what it this is what's going on, this is what we know we can verify at this point. There's all this other information, we can't confirm that or this or that, but we can confirm this. So it seems that our roles have changed a little bit. But maybe they're kind of the same, and that we're going to collect facts and then verify them and bring them to people. But understanding that, again, our process is out in the open, and that things are changing constantly. I don't think we're at the end of this. I think this is going to continue to go on until we figure it. And then products like yours or platforms like yours, I think, are going to help us to, sort of redefine that role of what we are.
Yeah, I think two things. Just tweeting about lunch, I think it's a good idea, because it's communication. Don't forget that.
Right.
And if it's communication, you need to show your human interface, or you have a human touch, you're a
Right.
person. So I love that. So from time to time, I do it myself.
Right. Well, no, and it is
Posting
true.
even photo when I'm walking outside.
Right.
It gets,
No, I think that's a valuable lesson with social media, that on the one hand, people are dismissive of it, but the other hand, I think this goes to sort of the anti-gatekeeper, that we're the crusader of truth, and that we sort of need to get over that and realize that we're human beings and that we're experiencing the world as everybody else is, but that so and people recognize that and people respond to that, and part of us getting our message out. I mean, we don't need to show everything, but we need to show that we're human beings and that we're affected by the news and that we react to it as well and that we have lives. I think, then it becomes sort of a matter of in a newsroom figuring out, what are the best practices for, how you deal with your own personal messages and, whether a retweet is an endorsement or whatever. So I think that the role of the journalist in social media is evolving. So tell me about the fe let's go back to the festival a little bit. You sort of talked about what you're going to be presenting. What do you think the main conversations are going to be at the festival?
I think I love that festival very much because it gives that human touch. I usually attend a lot of conferences, and if people only wear suits, you don't get in touch with the topics you would like to discuss. And Perugia is a beautiful environment to meet people on a very personal level, even people you know from what you read about them, you heard of them, they're famous or celebrities and somehow in the journalism scene, and I think that's amazing. And for me, it's just sitting in that Italian environment, which helps to relax and to be very open in discussing topics of interest. And I will talk to Simon Rogers, for example, from Twitter, the data journalist who came from The Guardian. We'll talk about going beyond what we know about Twitter, so the social network graph model, with a researcher from the US, Sudha Ram, who's done a lot of research on how news travels. That's something pretty interesting because we don't know really how to deal with real-time news in terms of how to use it and how to use the graph model to get more people in bringing to knowledge about the news, what's happening. And I think we can expect a lot of more of that kind of panels and forums and individual speeches. I think also one of the main focus areas will be security, the Snowden effect, of course. But what happened to journalism, I think even Alan from Guardian will attend. So I think it will be amazing.
Before the interview, I was looking at line you online. You had a There's a YouTube video, and I'll include the link on our website, of sort of your presentation of the Liquid Newsroom. One of the things I thought that was really interesting was that you were sort of graphing. This is such an obvious thing, but it's important that we do it. You're basically graphing the way people were using or consuming news. And just sort of following it, how they were, following it either on their laptop or their mobile device or their phone, and how that sort of changes over the day. And that's just the type of, quantitative information that's really kind of important as we sort of think about how we tweet things out. That, people aren't going to be on their mobile phones maybe the first thing in the morning, but as the day goes on, that becomes more of a prominent place where they're going to get their news. So we need to sort of think about that in our news cycle, about how to get.
The main problem thinking about the multi-screen world, which you're just talking about here, is that we just think that we use the same content to post everywhere. The reading habits are completely different if you read on a smartphone or on a tablet. So the really main task and the challenge is it to adjust the communication just to be appropriate to the device in this case and reading habits of the people during the day. So the model was really to have breaking news in the morning hours, so in the prime time, say from 7 to 9 in the morning, and to use that knowledge about what people are reading to produce more in-depth articles till lunchtime maybe. And to post it on a website and to use that information again to fill the space for leisure time in the evening when people start with the iPad or tablets to read the news.
Where they might want to read a longer, more informed piece rather than just the breaking news. Yeah, no, it's kind of fascinating the way that this has sort of changed, because I think the idea that I'm leaving journalism school and I'm going to become a newspaper reporter, or I'm going to go work at a news station, it is kind of changed because of the way people consume now news now. That understanding that you're going to be telling your story in different types of platforms and to try to reach your, I mean, ultimately the goal is to reach your reader and figuring out when they're going to be available. Serving the reader, going where they're at, giving them consumable news when they're ready to get it in the form they want to get it.
Absolutely. I tell you something interesting. I had a meeting in Berlin the last couple of 2 days. I went to a conference there. And I had a meeting with an organization who deals with journalists in the Middle East and Africa. And thinking about a completely different infrastructure, which means a preferred method of receiving information is mobile. It's not the internet. Even have to think about sending out news via SMS, for example. So it's not only digital, it's only high-tech industry. It's as you said, and I think that was the absolute most important thing to remember is that people really need the news where they can read. It could be even printed. Yeah, it's just a matter of what's the context of news.
Right. And so then journalists need to be nimble and being, able to sort of fit in that. And I think the newsroom of the future then becomes one which is sort of, amorphous, that kind of changes and is able to deliver its message in multiple platforms
Yeah.
and reach people wherever they're at.
Absolutely, yeah. I
Yeah.
think so too.
Well, we've cracked it, I think. I think that's what the code is. So I
Yeah.
think we can. Where do you see journalism going in the next few years? What do you think are going to be the big questions we're going to be dealing with?
So I think the business model,
Still the business model.
still the business model, it won't it it will be continued to eternity as a never-ending story. I think I see some interesting concepts coming up, and I think many chances lie in the data behind what we are doing, really. Could be one of the revenue streams, not only events or paid content models, whatever. And the second really challenging thing is, can we save not journalism, can we save the way we inform our public about events, with the problems the market currently faces? Can we continue to have an informed society? And that's something I'm really not really scared about. I'm worried about, but this can be continued, and the quality we need.
Yeah, I think that's something that we're all going to have to sort of noodle through and figure out. Well, thank you very much, Stefan. This has been great, and I appreciate you helping us set up these interviews. We've got some interesting people lined up, and I think it's going to be a real nice lead up to the festival in Italy. And keep up the good work.
That's the same I would like to say for you. With it's all journalism. I like your work, and I appreciate it very much. So hope you get a lot of more
Well,
subscribers to it.
okay. Well,
Thanks.
tweet us out to your thousands and thousands of followers.
Yeah, I will push it to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. This interview was set up in partnership with Stefan Konrath of Liquid Newsroom. The podcast is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.